and welcome to another episode of Indie Darlings, the podcast where we discuss films considered to be indie darlings. Now, this can be for positive or negative reasons. It's just an indie film that stands out. Today's special guest is a lovely comedian, Nick Mondernach.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Nick, you, I was really excited to have you on as a guest because you're always recommending them, like, the most thoughtful plays, movies, books.
Cool.
And I was taken for a whirlwind when you recommended today's movie, the 2002 documentary, Devil's Playground.
Yes, I'm really excited to watch this. I watched this years ago, and I think it kind of spoke to me as, like, I grew up in not an Amish church, but in the church. And I also found out a few years ago that my ancestors were Amish that I had, like, that. So there was kind of a connection there. But yeah, they were like
the
Pennsylvania Dutch. They were like that. They were like Pennsylvania Dutch. So yeah. So it was kind of interesting to think, like, oh yeah, like, I had relatives, you know, so long ago who were probably going through what was happening in this movie.
Yeah. And so evidently they left the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Right. So they kind of made a their own little call.
For people that don't know, Devil's Playground is a documentary about Rumspringa. It's the part of the Amish tradition of when a person, what man or woman, turns 16 years old, and the way their religion is based is you're not baptized until you're an adult and choose to be baptized. And Rumspringa is when they're allowed to stop being Amish and explore the outside world, aka what they call the English world. And they're allowed to, like, drink, smoke, party, date, dress English. And it's around this time they decide whether or not they're going to go and choose the Amish religion and get baptized. Mm-hmm. And it's, they call the English world Devil's Playground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's, it's so. I am so glad I rewatched it because I saw it years ago in college. And at first when I saw it, because on the cover of the DVD is just an Amish girl lighting up a cigarette. And I'm like, what is this?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And at first it's just fun watching these Amish kids, like, go wild. Mm-hmm. But then I was rewatching it. Okay. So I saw it when I was, like, 21. I'm 33 now. And seeing it now, I'm like, I'm filled with other emotions because, okay, they state a bunch of facts about this religion. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't wear wedding rings. The men just grow out their beards.
Yeah, right.
Because you can't take a beard off.
That's right.
And I'm like, yeah.
I was interested in that because I can't grow facial hair. And so I was thinking,
Nick, I was just imagining. You could have to just draw it on.
Yeah, I'd have to draw it on. Or the idea that people are just like, he doesn't love his wife.
Yeah.
Nick Mondernach, he just clearly is ambivalent about his wife's feelings.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, they don't just grow beards. If I was looking at them, like, it's a specific type of cut.
Right, yes.
It's like a. I don't even know what this kind of beard is called because it's not a naturalistic hipster beard. It's like it's a very clearly defined beard.
Yeah. It feels, tell me if this is, it's kind of like if, like, a chin strap just grew out, right? Like a little bit, right? It's like, it is like, it's very, it's thin and bottom heavy.
Yeah.
It's
like a jowl.
Yeah. Almost. Very jowly. Definitely.
And this is combined with a bowl cut.
Yes.
Which is so unflattering on everyone. And I'm just like, the combo of those two, and I'm just like, man, like, okay. Mm-hmm. And another thing is they consider education to be lead to pride, so they stop educating kids after the eighth grade.
Yes.
And that's, you're like 13.
Yeah. It's interesting how one of the things you were mentioning, what it was like for you rewatching it. I was also thinking about it in terms of economic and kind of class,
mm-hmm.
where there is this where it feels like, you know, obviously, like, there's a fear of education. They feel like education, like, I think, like, the quote was like education, like, makes you, like, arrogant or something like that.
I wrote it down. It says they believe education leads to pride.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm like, that must have been back in the day when it was considered elitist to go to college.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, wow, the attitudes back then have changed mm-hmm. so much. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame because back then it wasn't unheard of for most people just to only have an eighth grade education.
Yes.
But these poor kids are, not only are they 16 years old mm-hmm. and they're being forced to live away from their ginormous families,
right.
but they have an eighth grade education which you can't, you can't even get a job at McDonald's.
Right.
And so it sucks because, okay, I'm going to just list a few of the characters that we follow. One of them is, one of the first ones we're introduced to is a guy named Gerald, and he loves to party. He's mm-hmm. like, I love my cars. I love my, I love going fast. And he loves the material things. And what's, as the documentary progresses, like most Amish kids during Rumspringa, they still live at home.
Mm-hmm.
But he chooses to live on his own,
right.
and as you see him party, because these kids literally party nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't know what I want to do with the rest of my life, because you see him working a factory job.
Yes,
and you see him get a little burned out, and then ultimately he chooses to move back home, like after a few years. And I'm like, I don't blame you, because
mm-hmm.
you're 17 and
right.
you have an eighth grade education, and I'm sure part of him is ready to move on,
mm-hmm.
but you can't.
There was an interesting fact at the end which says that like 90%, there's a 90% retention rate in the Amish church, mm-hmm. and that it's that, and this was interesting to me, was that it's the highest it's ever been. That
yeah.
like more that actually, which was so interesting to me, until kind of what you're touching on, which is the idea that has it become that education has become so much more important that you have no choice. Like you're
yes.
kind of like, you know, I mean, whether it's intentional or not, or what have you, that you are kind of like, you have to go back. Like, again, like you're saying, like
mm-hmm.
you have an eighth grade education. Like, how are you going to yeah. live otherwise?
A lot of them, like they're struggling just to get by,
right?
Because they can't get jobs. And everyone they know is within the Amish community.
Mm-hmm.
All the skills they have are like factory mm-hmm. based or
agriculture, yeah, like farming,
or agricultural based.
And the issue with that being, I think if you like try to go to like a more modern farm, like there's like a Mondernach farm, for instance, I come from farmers. It's like, if you don't know machinery and stuff like you can't,
yeah.
you know, like it'd be hard to get those jobs. It's very mechanized, right? It's like,
yes.
yeah.
And they're Amish. The level of tools they're going to know is going to
yeah.
be limited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we followed Gerald, but we mainly follow a guy named Farron.
Farron Udor. I love, by the way, one of the funniest things to me about this documentary, and I come from, my name is Nick Mondernach, so I have a strange name, but it's so funny when you meet these guys, they're like, yeah, what's up? Partied all night, fucking like, you like hit 240s, fucking went to sleep in my fucking truck, dude. Like, it was fucking insane. And then it'll show their names, and it's like, Farron Udor, you know? It's like,
yes.
you know, they have these like super Amish names for like just these like bro, like.
Okay. After I watched this, I Googled him.
Mm-hmm.
I looked for him on Facebook.
Oh,
there's
cool.
six Farron Udors, and they're all in Indiana.
Yeah.
I think they must be all in the Amish community.
Sure.
And I'm like, that's so yeah. funny. So it's a common name where
yes.
he's from.
Yes.
I think it sounds very Dutch.
Very Dutch. Yeah, very Dutchy. And when we meet Farron, I think seems like the main character. He's like
main
definitely the
guy.
Most interesting
yeah.
character. But when he's on Rumspringa, but he's been kicked out of his house. I think we kind of find that, I think like the simplistic version is, hey, you're allowed to do whatever you want. But you find that there's nuance, like,
yeah.
and something that we relate to too, which is like, I think maybe in our, in some cultures in LA, it's like, oh, okay, you hit 16. We get that you're partying. It feels
yeah.
like there's a little bit of lenience, but it's not full leeway.
Yeah.
It's like he's been kicked out of his house.
He's selling
meth.
Meth.
Yeah. Yeah. Which they call crank. Oh, this is like
that,
made in the 90s.
That must be a Middle East,
yeah.
Midwest something.
Right. Right.
But he's selling crank to support his crank habit.
Yes.
And his parents kicked him out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, that's fair.
Right.
And he has an English girlfriend. And I remember when I first saw Farron. When you first see Farron, he is willowy.
Yes.
Because he's doing crank like throughout the day, every day.
Yeah.
And
he looks like, I mean, if if anyone's seen like Aaron Carter, if anyone remembers the pop star Aaron Carter,
God.
But him now.
Yeah, he looks like Aaron Carter now,
Aaron Carter minus
the tats.
Yes.
And I'm just like, oh, God, this poor kid. He's so young.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
So, okay, he gets caught up, apparently, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction is rampant in the Amish community,
mm-hmm.
which I find fascinating. And okay, so he gets caught up in a sting.
Yes.
And he snitches on these two other Amish dealers.
Now, originally, when they're talking to Aaron, to Farron, and I think his girlfriend's like Sarah, right?
Yeah.
They're like, okay, there was a sting. Like, we happened to be there, and now we're out of prison, and everyone just assumes that we did this.
Yeah.
And then you find out, half an hour later, like, no, we did this. And they're like, straight up, like, yeah, we wore wires.
Yeah. A police leak. Leaked the information that he was wearing a wire, and it's like, the two other guys got arrested, and
they were Amish too.
They were also Amish.
Yeah,
and but the thing is, like, he's like living in danger. There's a scene where you see him in his place, and they're like, "There's a car that's been parked outside of our place for months, just watching us."
Yeah,
and I'm like, "That's so scary."
It's interesting though, because he seems paranoid. There's times where there's this one scene where he seems high out of his fucking mind, and he's like, and he just keeps going, "They're outside, dude. Fuck it then. Fucking, you know something? They're gonna blow your fucking brains out, or they fucking won't." And guess what? It's almost this bizarre, like, Calvinistic religion thing of like, "Hey, if that's God's fucking plan for a drug dealer to blow my brains out, that's God's fucking plan."
Am I going to heaven? I don't know.
Am I going to heaven? I don't. Isn't it? It was interesting how the mix, and you were talking about the image on the cover, which is just like an Amish girl smoking a cigarette, but it's not like they're just like, "Thank God we're out." There's really a lot of guilt and hopefulness, and like, it is, they have such a complicated relationship to their religion. Like, it's interesting seeing some people who are pretty deep into like drug addiction and the English world, and they're just like, "Yeah, I really see myself going back. I think that's my place." And it's it is this like this dilemma, like a real dilemma for them.
Well, they talked to one girl who's named Joanne. She seems like she partied hella hard. Like, she one time she wasn't home for 5 months.
Yeah.
And she most Amish families have about 12 kids.
Right.
And she was saying, you would think no one would notice if one of the 12 kids is missing.
Yeah.
But no, everyone notices. Like, she said her little sister would cry every day.
Yeah.
And then apparently Joanne, like, she used to party hard, but then she chose to get baptized. Mm-hmm. And then after she got baptized, she refused to talk to the camera.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that right? That's right. Yeah. It's there does seem to be this, like, when you're in, you are in, right? Like, yeah, it's, talking to her was interesting. And that was another one too, where she was going out and partying. And it was this, like, it made you realize that there was a lot of texture to this, where people were like, "Hey, like, just so you know, like people are talking about how much you've been partying." Like, it seemed like the parents, I don't think it's just like, "Hey, totally cool. See you when we see you." I think there's still a lot of like,
well, what I thought was so interesting is, okay, this doc got released in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And it said most Amish kids have cell phones.
Mm.
And here's the thing. It's 2002. I'm trying to think. Not every kid had a cell phone back then.
Right.
This was still back when people had flip phones.
Mm-hmm.
But every single kid has a cell phone. And I was like, that's crazy. But then I'm like, oh, it's because their community's so tight-knit.
Oh.
Like, they have to keep tabs on each other.
Interesting. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it might have a different function.
Yeah,
in those communities. Yeah,
it was more like walkie talkies,
because
like, when they would throw, well, first they were talking about how they use the phones to throw parties, like 100 kids showing up.
Right.
But then I'm like, it's also a million times easier to gossip.
Yeah. Oh, that's so. You're keeping tabs. Yeah, I hadn't like thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
They're mentioning, and I think if I could have done this research in 3 minutes, but it's not like no electricity. Like, that's one thing that I learned watching the doc. It's like they do have, and they were mentioning a little bit about like, there's just like, the what you're touching on is like, it's like, will this harm the community or something like that? Yeah, like will a Nintendo Switch hurt like our values and stuff? And then so it seems like there's a little bit more nuance to how they do that,
because there's such specific things. They're not like, you see them light a gas lamp, but they're not allowed to use buttons.
Right.
Like, you see a girl pinning her dress closed, and I'm like, you can't put a button. I mean,
a button will undo your family.
I mean, I guess some point in history the buttons were like, this is destroying what we believe in.
Yes,
and I'm
yes.
like, that's so crazy.
I'm trying to think of the logic of that. It's like, well, if you know, if you're able to put on buttons, you could quickly put your clothes on. And if you can do that, well, then guess what? You can sneak out of a room. And if you can do,
yes, people, it's easier to have affairs. Right.
Yes. It needs to take you 30 minutes to put on clothes. So we know clearly, you know.
Well, when they're talking about it, they say how their life is slower, but it gives you more time to think about God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of footage of people in buggies and then next to the highways.
Yes.
And cars just whizzing
by. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, that must be horrible to be in a horse and buggy.
Well, someone talks about that. They're like, yeah, it's kind of like frustrating. You could tell like they.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting how many people they talked to. And there was one guy who was like, well, when I came back, the first 3 or 4 years were tricky. And then his eyes go dead. He goes, and he kind of looks at his wife, and his wife doesn't really look at him. And he goes, but you do it. You know, like, they're just not like super stoked. Cause they're not, I mean, I guess, you know, they're just like, you know, I grew up in a church and I relate to this, but they're not all spiritual inward looking people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there are people who are just like, I guess this is what's up. And, you know, and then there are people who seem to connect to it in a meaningful way.
Yeah. Like, cause he talks about how, like, when it's raining, he has to bike to work.
Yes. Yes.
And he's just like, you don't have a car. You have to think about all the places you have to go, either on foot or by mm-hmm. bike. And it's just how you can't blame them for missing a car.
Right, right, right. It does seem like they think about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because those things don't go away. You still see them when you go
yes,
outside.
Yes.
What's interesting about Farron's character is that he, even though he's like real deep in the English world, he's also, it's because his father's a preacher.
Yes.
And it seems like he might be spiritually inclined.
He definitely has some bizarre meth-induced philosophical moments, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, it's fate. It's all just like, it is just, he is this weird, like meth minister. Like,
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, you can see there's just like some emotional depth to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he does see some value in all the preaching that his father does,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, so he ends up going back to his parents' place and just getting clean. Cause no one will deal him speed anymore. Cause he snitched on two people.
Nor should they.
Yeah. And he gets clean and he meets an Amish girl named Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And they fall in love. But the thing is, Emma, she wants to leave the Amish.
Yeah. That's an interesting little turn where it seems like he's like, oh, I'm getting my act together and I'm rejoining. And then she's the one who's like, oh, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. And so they leave. Well, she leaves. Well, they break up and she leaves. And then finally he leaves. Well, because he falls to pieces. Like he starts drinking and he uses again. Yeah.
And his narrative is that she is saving him, right?
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I found this girl, right? You know, he's kind of putting a lot on that. Like, yeah, this is God telling me to do this. And then she leaves for Florida.
Yeah. It seemed like he wanted to rejoin the church, but then he ends up following her to Florida.
Right.
And where he has the worst time, like on the second day there, he gets in a car crash.
Right.
And apparently, I was reading up about this afterwards, the car crash was even worse than it looked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you see the car and it's totaled and you see Farron and he's like bleeding from the head.
Yes.
The camera guy for the doc was in the car too and he like broke his collarbone.
Oh, wow. It was like a brutal one.
It was a brutal one, yeah.
One of the funny things about that, he's in the hospital. He's like, he's gotten this huge car wreck.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows if it's like, you know, substance abuse or what.
Yeah.
And then when he's there, like he just finds a valet and the valet is like, yeah, you can have a job. So because he gets in a car accident and then then the hospital gives him a job driving people's cars.
This made me sad, but I mean, live your life. Like when he gets that valet job, he's stoked. He's like, I feel good about myself.
Yes.
I'm so proud of myself. And I'm just like, damn.
Right, right.
Damn.
It is like, you know, again, it's that there's a lot of class. It's not just religion, right? But it's like there's a lot of like class awareness of it where, he's like, did it.
Yeah.
Right. I'm a valet. I live with like, you know, I found love. He reconnects with Emma. So I'm living with this girl. I'm a valet. I'm done, mm-hmm. right? Like I've got it. So there is just like this mentality of and like what am I capable of and all this. So yeah, I think that does seep into it. Where right.
I think there's as watching this in my 30s, I'm very much aware of like there's an insane amount of pressure on these kids,
right?
Because they're all like barely 18, eighth grade education, and if they choose to leave the church, okay. So another person they follow is this girl named Velda.
Mm-hmm.
She is my hero. She talks about how she was engaged to be married within the church, but then like right before she got married, she calls it off.
Yeah.
Because she wants to leave the church. Because she's feeling, she's so depressed that she's suicidal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she realizes she wants to leave the church.
Right.
And she wants to get an education. And her family, they're just like, you can't live without us.
Yes.
And they keep saying that to her. And I'm like, well, that's horrible. But then on top of that, when you leave the church, your family, they shun you.
Yeah.
And they can't talk to you.
Right.
And I'm like, that's so brutal.
She gave up everything. I mean, she really loses. And you can see it in her. Like this was not an easy.
It must have been so traumatic for her. You see her try on a dress that she was supposed to wear at her wedding.
And she has it. I mean, she's kept it.
It's
right?
In like her that, closet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they apparently they wear black for their wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
She makes a bonnet and it's like this creepy looking black dress.
Yes.
And she's like, I thought I would feel like a queen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, God, your life is sad.
Yeah. And it's still and the thing is, it's not even like, and then I upgraded. It's like she seems still very sad. Like she's still like, you know, it's and just like you're saying, like there's that's the dilemma. And I was kind of mentioning how I one of the things that I went in rewatching it, thinking about, I had an ancestor who made that choice. Who probably and like you're saying was probably shunned by his family because, you do like it's when I was going back through, you know, the genealogy and stuff like that. It's like, it does like the Pennsylvania dust just falls out. It's like, oh yeah, he severed ties to like this family, like severed ties to the Pennsylvania Dutch. And like, it's so crazy. Like, yeah, there's, I probably have just like a very, very sad ancestor who like made a big call.
Yeah. And well, cause like, it's not just the technology. Apparently. Okay. So most Amish families have like 12 kids.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading an interview with Lucy Walker, the director, and she was talking about like on the one hand, Amish life can seem very appealing because you can go you can move out of state and you'll never be alone if you find an Amish community,
right?
Because instantly people will be like required to welcome you,
yes.
help you.
Yes. And he does that. He goes to Florida and it seems like he's just instantly like, he's instantly like the mayor or whatever.
Yeah. and yeah, like everyone, it's very tight knit, very simple. There's no question what you're going to do the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're going to do the rest of your life. And like, even though you don't have TV or whatever, like you actually end up talking more with your family.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can see some benefit to that, but she talks about how since this is a very insular community, it's very easy for abuse to go by.
Right.
She talked about how that she talked to a woman who was she was 40 something
mm-hmm.
and she was anorexic so that she couldn't have any. She had 8 children.
Yes.
And she desperately didn't want to have more.
Right.
They're not allowed to have birth control. So she was this 40 something year old woman was starving herself.
Yes.
So she couldn't physically have any more children.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this isn't. Not right.
Right. There's a when they're talking about their religion, again, it's also in this matter of fact thing of just like, yeah, you know, we use a horse and buggy. We believe that women are second to men.
Mm-hmm.
They are like a lower status. You know, they're just they're saying, I mean, the cadence of it is just like, oh, of course.
Yes.
You know, there's also, you know, talking about those like the gender roles. You were mentioning that like, oh, you're allowed to dress English, but you saw that only the boys would dress in like t-shirts and jeans.
Yeah, the women
are
still wearing
bonnets.
Still
wearing bonnets and going out. So you could still see that there's like even in Rumspringa, like there's still like normative and more pressure put on mm-hmm. women to conform. Like
mm-hmm.
it seemed like yeah.
Ugh, that's awful. Like I just okay. So poor Velda, like you see her struggle. Like she's coping with her past, but also she's like her dad saying you can't live without us actually makes her more determined to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And she does get into a Christian college in Texas.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you're so happy for her.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. She makes it work and, you know, somehow, and yeah, you can see she is very like, has done a lot of mm-hmm. inner work to make this new life happen. But
yeah. She said she wants to become a counselor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so great.
Right.
That's so great. And yeah. And then Emma, who, she said she wants to see the world.
Mm-hmm.
I Googled her. Well, when I was Googling Farron, I came across a blog that Emma wrote.
Oh.
Yeah. Like she talks about, well, her and Farron end up breaking up.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, they're 17. They're like living together at 17.
I know. God. That's obscene.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she ends up getting an education.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and she, I think, moves to San Diego.
Oh.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I've traveled. It's just, it wasn't for me. She was like the fifth of 10 children.
Yeah.
It was something crazy like that. And she's like, this is just not what I want.
Yes.
And what was I going to say? Farron, I Googled him. He does not go back to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That seems kind of clear to me in watching it. He doesn't seem like he's ready to do that. Right. Like, yeah. He seems like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like I think he's still figuring himself out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally fair because these kids are so young.
Right, right. Yeah, you're making a huge call at, you know, 16 years old. I was trying to decide if I was going to go back to marching band. it was like, yeah, well, you know, like won't have to do PE, but I'll have to come an hour before. You know, like, yeah. That was my
yeah. Well, also, wrenching. Like, it sucks because the worlds they're choosing between are so juxtaposed.
Yes.
It's such a strong juxtaposition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's either literally live Amish,
yeah,
or explore the whole wide world.
Yes, yes. And there is this, like, these, like, competing value systems of, like, the point of view of the documentary is, like, the only way they know stability is through the church. So it's like stability or almost like, or this untethered, like, lifestyle where, again, you have, like, it seems like they have very, like, minimal, like, emotional resources, social resources, like, mm-hmm. You know, like, it's wrenching. It's pretty wrenching watching these kids and just being like, yeah. And kind of, to me, getting the sense that no matter where they go, they're going to be pretty unhappy. It feels like the people that they follow anyway,
yeah.
Like there's going to be a lot of,
yeah, because pain. They're handicapped in so many ways,
yeah.
And they're going to do it alone.
Right.
And it's just, it's, they're asking too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I was reading about the process of making this. The reason they follow Farron,
mm-hmm.
is not necessarily that because his story is the most interesting. It's because he opened up the most to them.
Right.
Like, because she was saying how it was really hard to make this documentary because, first of all, most Amish don't even allow themselves to be photographed.
Yes.
And a lot of the people they would talk to would later stop talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know this, but their religion doesn't allow contracts.
Mm.
So they would sign something, say that they were going to be interviewed for this,
yeah.
And be like, that doesn't mean anything.
Oh, yeah. They don't recognize it.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's such a weird, specific thing.
Right. Right. That must be so, to me, making a documentary at all seems so frustrating. Just, you're not sure what it's not, it'd be like writing a screen, like filming a screen, like, hey, we're going to film this feature. We don't know if there's an ending,
yeah.
You know, we're filming an Infinity War. We
yeah.
don't know if it might just peter out.
Yeah. Yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, and so when you add to that, like, having whole storylines that were just like people just like cut out and stuff like that. That sounds, yeah, really
hard. Because there's a bunch of people they interview, but they focus mainly on Farron. And I'm thinking, because he allowed it the most.
Yes.
There's this one girl they talk to and she ends up getting baptized, but she's like, I'm going to miss Ozfest.
Yeah.
And oh, I was, I know. Like, holy shit.
I know. Yeah. Right, yeah. Which, like, Godsmack, you know, Power Man 2000. Like, it's funny. I was like, oh, these were, because you're like I think you and I are the same age, so these were our contemporaries, right? These were like, I mean, this is like, you know,
I remember Ozfest.
Totally, totally.
I never went to
Ozfest. No, I never went to Ozfest. But yeah, this was a type of person that was very known to me, like the fashion, the style.
Yeah,
I think
it's very, like, I remember being scared of Ozfest when I was a teenager, and I'm just like, damn, girl,
scared of Ozfest.
No, because I was in a Best Buy and I first heard about it with this giant, it was a huge poster, and then you see Ozzy Osbourne, pretending to hitchhike, and he's holding a sign that says Ozfest. I'm like, holy God, it looks terrifying.
Slipknot.
Yeah. And it was just like, I was like, damn, this girl went to Ozfest when she was probably like 15. And I'm like, that's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. They seem, there's a constant feeling that they are unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, within their community and outside of their community. They just seem like really vulnerable. And
yeah. Cause they don't know.
Right. Right.
One girl that I think that same girl, she was talking about the first time she went to a party, she got so drunk that she got scared.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh dear.
Right, right.
Something probably happened that made her feel unsafe. And I'm like, but and she's like, but you just keep going. And I'm like, your world.
Yeah.
It scares me.
Definitely. And it's interesting to, you know, we're talking about like the economic mobility and stuff like that. But there's this moment where, is it Gerald at the top that they talked to? Like, but he's talking to Farron and he's like, and Farron's like, so what are you going to do? And Gerald's like, I don't know. I guess I'll just work in a factory. And Farron's like, for the rest of your life? He's like, I don't want that. But he has no, he doesn't go, I'm going to be a teacher. He doesn't, there's none of that.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. And it's funny, just like, it's like, you're going to work in a factory? I'm going to be a valet. I mean, it's like, it's, there really is just such a limited, like, worldview, like what's available and what's realistic and what's proper too. Right.
Well, it's tough because like, it's understandable because back in the day, most Amish were farmers, but as things industrialized, most of them end up working in factories. And you don't have to work in a factory to realize it's not going to be appealing. And especially to a teenager.
Yeah.
But then it's also like, imagine dropping out of school in junior high.
Right. Right. And I was kind of curious about that too. And how that's developed where, you know, you're mentioning how agriculture has changed so much, right? Like, you know, my relatives like farm and stuff like that, there's not a ton of people working, like, you know, like the amount of labor that's needed is so much less for especially when you're doing corn, soy, and staples. And then how like as the as factory work changes, I mean, you've got to think they're just very vulnerable to those shifts in these communities. And yeah, with 10 kids and, you know.
Yeah. Also like the farming industry is just a whole other ball game now.
Right. Right.
And there's probably so many things that you have to do to adapt that they're not willing to do. And so I like, aside from being a preacher, Farron's dad, he runs a furniture business, a lawn furniture business.
Yes, that's right.
Everything's wooden.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's very quaint, but I'm just like, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. That world there is fascinating. It's, also, you know, talking about the dad, like, yeah, Farron does go back, work for his dad. He gets fired by his dad, kind of kicked out. Like, you can see there's a lot of family.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of tension there.
A lot of tension.
He keeps getting kicked out.
Right, right.
Well, because the thing is, after the documentary ended, him and Emma break up. He moves back home, but he gets kicked out again.
Yes.
Because he starts dealing drugs again.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, 20-year-old me would have been like, why are you dealing drugs again? But 30-year-old me is like, yeah, you need that fucking money.
Right.
Oh God.
Yeah. It's pretty scary watching it. And also I think just the filmic style, which is like the lighting is like,
it's the grittiest.
It's so gritty. Yeah. It's fluorescent, this like dim fluorescent kind of like trailer lighting. I mean, I was in such a strange like vibe the whole time, just like watching that. Just the aesthetics of that of the documentary and of their lives were.
It's. I mean, I suppose you could say they use naturalistic lighting, but it's also the least flattering lighting.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of sunken eyes. Right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Hard to look good in that.
Yeah. And I mean, these kids, they're so rough and tumble. Like, there's a part where you see them having a party, and then the next morning, like at dawn, someone's asleep in the bed of a truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you see him wake up, and he just stretches, like, well.
Right. Yeah. They look so I don't think I saw a physically comfortable person in that entire documentary.
No. The thing is, they all seem completely unfazed.
Yeah.
If I was a teenager and I woke up in the bed of a truck, I would freak out.
Yes. Yes. But I'd be telling that story for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I'm just like, and I woke up in a bed of a truck.
What? Kind of what?
Yeah. Yeah. But this kid, I'm just like, your life must be so insane.
Yeah.
Doesn't even make you blink.
Right. You know, you're touching on that. It definitely made me reflect a little bit on my privilege and geographic privilege and sort of like, you know, grew up in like a pretty liberal middle class household and stuff like that. Like we're educated. Like, I mean, I was like, oh, wow. There are people who can't even conceptualize of that.
Yeah.
In that. So, yeah. So I was definitely kind of thinking about that. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, this is like not everyone. And you know, there's a lot of different versions of that too. Yeah.
Well, part of me also thinks of just logistics. Like, okay, so Another weird thing, you see photos, baby photos of all the people they're interviewing. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because once they're, I think, older than 10, you're not allowed to have your photo taken.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's so weird and creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think it's like once you have like start developing like sexual characteristics or something like that? Like
maybe.
Is that it?
Because they only have little kid photos. And right. I'm like, is this purely just to keep records of people?
Interesting. Interesting.
But, yeah. But then that means no one has like ID. No one has like if you were to find looking for a missing person, right. what would you go on?
Yes. Yes.
And that's there. Oh, also, okay, if no one's allowed to have a past eighth grade education, how do they get doctors?
Right, right. Yeah, or I mean, yeah, you've got to think there's like a lot of issues like that within that community. I wonder, yeah. There was one part where that's kind of touched upon briefly. I don't know how much this reflects the that entire culture, but the she escapes the church and gets an education. What's her name?
Velda.
Velda. Yeah, I say. But Velda is talking about getting psychiatric care and how her family was like, do not be in a hospital, right? They did not want her to be in that hospital. So I wonder if it's like kind of more community based or. You know, like they're just like, yeah, more like first aid stuff. But it seemed like there was a stigma against like going to that.
But I'm like, there's how can you not have a doctor?
Around? Yeah, sure.
Like you have a bunch of kids. You have such a huge community of people. Also, apparently, incest is a huge problem in the Amish community because you have a huge community that has been staying together for generations.
Yes, yes.
Cousins are marrying cousins.
Right.
You start to see they seek out doctors and nurses that specialize in incest related diseases.
Mm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I'm like, you guys know there's a way around that.
Yeah, right. Well, there also just seems to be, you know, like marrying outsiders, for instance, because when you find Farron, at first he has like an English
girlfriend,
and she is willing to join the church. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like she like they like he just like ditches her.
Oh yeah!
Almost like she's gonna get killed. It sounds like she might get killed by these drug dealers. Yeah. He just bones
he's like
out.
You good, right?
Yeah, really. I mean, like he just kind of ditches. But he goes like, oh, she says she'll join the church. He goes, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah,
I think there definitely seemed like a stigma about bringing outsiders in. He was like, it's too harsh. She won't be able to do it. I mean, maybe he's just. I mean, there's evidence that he's not that into her, and that he probably leaves her to be shot to death.
Oh yeah, no, he does not seem that into her. But then when you see him with Emma, he is smitten with her.
Yes, yes.
But I imagine it'd be so impossible to not grow up in that and then to suddenly just adapt to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're borderline living off the grid.
Right, right.
And that's not going to be for everyone.
I also wonder if it's, you know, there's kind of like a community control element to that of like not bringing out those outside influences.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder.
Because no one's going to know your family.
Right, right.
And they're
right.
not going to know what they're getting into. Mm. But I'm like, genetic wise, you have to know there's going to be backlash.
Yes, yes.
let's see. I think, well, first of all, this documentary is an hour and 15 minutes.
Easy watch.
Yeah. Like, I came home late last night and I was like, oh, I don't think I have time to watch this. But then I did and I was like, all right.
Breezy.
Yeah, so I think this was a great documentary. And this is like I know there was literally a reality TV show series about the Amish breaking free of Amish or whatever. But this was 2002 and it's kind of shot 90s style.
Right.
But I highly recommend it because I feel like this goes very in depth to what these kids are really dealing with.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I also wonder if there's kind of like thematically something I think we all relate to of like of the balancing between and the competing values of freedom and security, mm-hmm. right? Like I think maybe there's something we all like, you know, we go out drinking at a friend's party, we party all weekend, and then we're like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Mm-hmm. You know, and then you work insane hours for months and you're like, what am I doing? Like, you know, I think there's something I certainly not on it to any degree, but like, but on a human level, I'm like, oh yeah, I constantly experience these competing value systems in myself.
Yeah. Like, cause the part where Gerald, he lives on his own and his parents tell him like, why don't you just stay at home? Everything's free.
Sure.
And he's like, yeah, but I can't have people over whenever I want.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get it. You need that The Price of Freedom.
The Price of Freedom. Yeah, that's a great, like, kind of takeaway. It's like, yeah, it's like there's a cost. There's like every choice you make, there is a an unbearable cost.
Yeah. Nick, okay, if someone really liked this documentary, what would you recommend they watch next?
Oh, wow. You know something? I did not do this part of the assignment. I'll say, you know something? There's one, I wonder, maybe Connie or Dave, but I was, you know, we're talking about religion, and there's a documentary that follows a Catholic priest who molested, like, this might get...
what is it called?
It's something like, but...
I don't think I've seen this.
Oh, it's really
it's horrific. There's a horrific one. Like I probably don't have, but anyway, search like horrific Catholic priest documentary. But, you know, again, talking about how about insular communities and stuff like that. That just came to my mind.
I did see something like this, but the thing is, this is kind of sad. I don't remember which one.
Oh, yeah. Right. In the white catalog.
Yeah.
I have an entire DVD collection. Those four shelves are all Catholic. Yeah.
This is a category on Netflix.
Yeah, definitely.
Catholic priest molesting doc.
Right.
So there's something about insular communities. I would recommend checking out. Let me see. I wouldn't really recommend checking out that reality show Breaking Amish because that there's been some controversy surrounding that because it's been deemed a lot of it was staged.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Oop.
Oh, Deliver Us from Evil.
I think I have seen that actually.
Yeah, it's nightmarish.
It's about this messed up process. I think this is it. Okay, a Catholic priest, they realize he has a rampant problem where he was molesting kids.
Yeah.
And it sucks because he's aiming for kids that are like vulnerable.
Yes.
And then instead of kicking this person out of the church, they relocate him to other churches.
Yes, constantly. They're just like really they're constantly doubling down on it. But yeah, I think it touches on a few themes we talked about, which is vulnerability, mm-hmm. religion, kind of insular communities, and yeah. So that might be if you just want to feel bad, watch a religious movie. But yeah.
I found it. I also find it very educational. Like, from an, I guess an maybe an
anthropological. Like, yeah.
Just to view this segment of society that we don't get to see,
mm-hmm.
because they are very closed off,
right?
And what's interesting is there's a part where they're talking to an elder, and he's saying like, every problem an English family has, an Amish family has.
Yes.
Like, it could be drugs, alcohol, you name it, they have it. It's mm-hmm. just, they're Amish.
Right.
And I'm like, well, then why be Amish?
Right, that these are kind of endemic human, like, issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I was also, you know, I'm thinking about that character that they interview, and it's interesting because they have some very strict, it's also kind of shows the nuance within the teens they're interviewing within the parents, where there's some who are just like, and once you make that commitment, you have made that commitment and you are in the community. And then they talk to one guy who's like, yeah, you know, we get it. You know, you can see there's like cool uncles within the Amish community.
Yeah.
And then also like, you know, there's just like, it's just like an overall, you know, and certainly like a patriarchal system there.
What's really sweet is after there's this moment where you see Velda get into college. And she talks about how she told her parents, mm-hmm. and she says, I think they're happy for me in their own quiet way.
Yeah.
So it's nice to know that she is in contact with them.
Yes. She does like call them and stuff like that. Yeah. But it definitely like showed that nuance. Like it isn't just like my conception of an Amish person is like they see a Game Boy and they go,
they faint.
And they go, the devil, you know, it's like, yeah, they've like, you know, it definitely like it was a little more nuanced than that. But yeah.
Let me see. The music in this doc was done by
Aphex Twin. Oh my God. What a fucking, what a get.
That's crazy.
It's eerie. Yeah. I was like, there's some of this like eerie, like techno music behind a lot of it. Yeah. It's Aphex Twin.
Yeah. And knowing that as I was rewatching it, I was like, yeah, this is Aphex Twin. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's random as hell, too.
It's so spooky. Yeah, I saw that. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
I was like, that must be not right.
Yeah, but then when you listen to it, yeah, some of that ambient, like techno music is just, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of dark.
It is, definitely, yeah.
Okay. Nick, thank you so much for coming today.
Connie, what a blast. Thanks so much for having me and what a treat.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at MandarNick. That's it. That's a little quick plug.
Fantastic. Well, if you liked what you heard, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can email us at indiedarlingspodcast@gmail.com. Recommendations for movies, questions, comments. Did we get it right? You could also follow us at Indie Darlings Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you and have a great rum springa.
'm Joel Spence.
And I'm Deborah Tarika.
And we're co-hosts of This Particular Album Is Very, Very Important to Me.
This is the podcast where we ask people we love to pick an album that is very, very important to them. And here they share their memories.
Great. And not so great.
And emotional connections.
Great. And also not so great.
And we all get to listen to it through their ears.
Join us for season one with guests like Ty Burrell, Nicole Byer, Betsy Sodaro, John Ross Bowie, and more. Available at Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.